Did you catch the list of things that can be against us? Tribulation, persecution, distress, famine, nakedness, sword, war, danger. We're like sheep ready to be slaughtered. Those things can shake your confidence. Those things can make you wonder how far away God's love actually is. Who can be against us? Well, lots of things and people. Last week I read on a Facebook post that 8 Christians had been crucified over in Syria. They had been captured by the radical extreme group ISIS, and because they would not revert to Islam, they were publicly executed on crosses. In various parts of the world, women are raped, children stolen from schools, churches burned, and homes demolished. If you are simply a Christian, persecution, tribulation, where's God's love? War, danger, sword. An airliner with almost 300 people shot out of the sky, surfaced air missile. Takes a week for the bodies to go back to their loved ones. Here in the United States, the owner of Chick-fil-A takes a stand for traditional marriage, a one man and one woman, and he is just vilified in the media and social media. Hobby Lobby has a court case about not covering certain forms of contraceptives, and the Supreme Court rules on their sides, and politicians and all sorts of other groups just attack. But sometimes the persecution or the distress or the tribulation doesn't come from other people or those who are against us so obviously. Sometimes it's just a disaster. A little town in Nebraska, Pilger. 2 tornadoes come through and demolish the whole town. Lutheran church there, completely destroyed except for the stone bell tower. Pastor's home, all the stuff strewn over miles of debris. Where's God's love in that? Why the church? What did Pilger do to deserve that? You take a look at all these things that can be against us, and you begin to wonder how far away God's love could be. Then Paul asks, who can condemn us? Who can condemn us? Imagine this is a courtroom, and onto the side here, this is where the accused is going to sit, and you're the one in the accused chair, and the prosecuting attorney is bringing evidence and witnesses against you. The first witness, somebody from a cell phone company. He has a record of all the times your face has been stuck onto that screen, endangering other drivers, neglecting a child who wanted your attention, missing an opportunity to pray. Not paying attention to someone in need. Next witness, a computer tech. He's got the history of all the sites you've ever visited on the internet. Well, that one was okay, but then you clicked this link and you went somewhere else, not so okay, and then you ended up at places you should never have been. Adds up all the hours you spent on Facebook and surfing the internet, all the time you could have spent getting work done or developing a relationship. All your Facebook posts, all your emails, they're all there on display with the ones highlighted where you tore somebody apart or posted something you should never have posted. The next witness is a family member, and the words that you spoke to that family member were so hurtful that now what's left is an icy chill in the room when the two of you are together. There's the security camera that's caught you. There's the sales clerk just trying to be helpful, but you are impatient. You're not getting what you want. And the words you use ruin that person's day. And then there's the tape recording as evidence. Tape recording, you called up some customer representative from a business. You're not happy with how the product works. You're not getting satisfied. And the representative is just trying to be helpful, but the way you berated that person, the tone of the voice, all of the evidence is there. And so who is the prosecuting attorney? Who's the one that's accusing you of all this stuff? Well, the word Satan, his name simply means the adversary or the accuser. And he's laid it all out there. And when you begin to see all the accusations and all the condemnation, and you begin to wonder how much farther away God's love can be. And who can separate us from the love of God, Paul asks. And he gives this list, height or depth, life to death, now into the future. And you know what that reminds me of? It just reminds me of the daily grind that we live. An assignment that needs to be done. Get up, eat, drive, run the errands, try to study, be with family, not get enough sleep, and get up and do it again. And again, and again. And the sameness just wears you down. There's a burden there, a deadness there, a distance. But the worries don't go away. The stresses are still there. The bills that you can't pay. The things that people are wanting from you. All the work that you just can't get done. And there's the worries and the stress, and there's the health concerns and simply getting older. And it's this daily grind that just kind of inches you day by day away from God's love. You don't feel it. It's not touching you anymore the way you want it to. Until you look up and you see just how far away you are from God's love. Those who are against us, the accusations, the daily grind, they've just taken you so far away. I remember a poster or a book, I can't remember what it was from, but the saying came to me. It went like this: if God seems far away, guess who moved? And then we hear Paul's words. I am sure that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. All those that are against us, God is for us. And how do we know that? He delivered his own son up for us. He gave him to be crucified for us. And if he gives his son, then he will graciously give us all things. Things like strength when we are attacked, or compassion when evil strikes in this world. Prayers to be said and answered. And Paul says, I'm convinced that he gives us each other in the church to help and support and encourage one another when there is trial and distress and tribulation. Oh, and God has promised to be in places where we would be close to him. You pick a Bible up. You open it up and you read it. And God's love flows into your hearts, into your minds. You go up for the Lord's Supper, and there in that little piece of bread and in that wine, and Jesus' very presence fills you. You remember your baptism, and that water splashed on your head with God's word simply assures you that he scooped you up as his beloved child. Go where God promises to be in his word and his sacraments, and he is close to you in his love. In Pilger, Nebraska, after those tornadoes hit, the congregation had a worship service. Here's a picture. You can see the red and white tents. That's where they had gathered for the worship service. There's the only thing that's left standing. It's the bell tower, but somebody has climbed up there with a hammer to ring the bell to call people to worship. There's the makeshift altar with the cross and the communion vessels. And there's Pastor Terry Maitland leading this worship. God's presence has been invoked. His word and sacrament are there, and God's love is there. And what does he preach on that day? Romans 8. In the midst of all that is against us, God is for us. And who can condemn us if God's the one who justifies us? Earlier in the book of Romans, Paul simply wrote, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, condemned, Christ died for us. Do you want to hear God's love? You go to Jesus on the cross and you listen to Jesus say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that very moment, all the accusations, all the condemnations, all the distance, all the worries, everything is crushing Jesus, and he is the one that is taking the punishment of separation, not us. So Paul can write, he can write at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, he simply says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. How do we know that now? Dr. Harta, please absolve me.
Gladly. In the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from God's love? Nothing. Because up here at the altar, is a resurrected, victorious Lamb of God for us. He is the one who is risen from the dead. He is the one who is now interceding for us, praying for us. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives us a promise. In his resurrected, soon to be ascended state, he simply says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Whatever the daily grind brings, whatever the studies you're eating or driving, whatever the stress or the worry or the sleep, whatever it is, lo, I am with you always, interceding in his ascended glory. And here I am back, close to God's love. Paul is certain, and his certainty comes because of God's love in Jesus Christ. God is for us. He justifies us. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing will be able to separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Amen.